Nelson. I cannot believe how hard this message was. I thought it would be a piece of cake. I'm a woman. I'm a mother. It's going to be so easy to do this message. Just and when I went through the scriptures and kept going through, and God changed the topic every single day. And I redid the notes every single day. It's like God was taking me into directions I never even knew existed. Okay, I'm going to open up in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Dear Father God in heaven, in the precious and holy name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we give you all praises, all honor, and all glory. We thank you this day, Father, for the institution of marriage and for the mothers, Father God in heaven, that you have given the men as helpmeets, Father God in heaven, to bring godly seeds and that can praise you, that can worship you, and that can serve you in truth as well as in spirit. I pray, Father God in heaven, as you bring the message forth through me, that ears will be open to hear your word, and that you will give us good understanding to renew our minds daily in your word, that we may be workmen that need not be ashamed of our homes, of our families, of our children, but we will be that you will be glorified through us, because this is your will in Christ Jesus' holy name. I pray, amen. First thing I had to do, I had to ask myself some questions, and I did not know the answer. Why is a mother honored? Why is a mother honored? And I got my answer in Malachi chapter 3. I'm not Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, and I will read that. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and with weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hands. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. First thing God had revealed to me is, even though we're honoring mothers, we have to work with the marriage, because the mothers cannot do what she's called to do if the marriage is out of order, if she is not being honored in that marriage. So I pulled down a picture of a mother and a father quarreling, okay? And on this, it says, is it okay for dad to disrespect mommy? Is it okay for mommy to be disrespected in a home? The answer is no. The answer is always no. When mothers are raising these children, in the book of Proverbs, mothers are required to train these children. Fathers are required to command the kids. If the mother is being directed, disrespected, then the fathers aren't doing their job of commanding those kids to be in order. If the fathers are disrespecting the mothers, then the kids will disrespect the mothers. And when the kids are disrespecting the mother, this is what happens when you look out in the world, when you read about the things that are taking place in our society today. It is a lot of mothers are being disrespected, especially godly mothers, mothers I'm talking about that are in the house of God. When they walk out the door, when they go driving home, they're being disrespected. Now, if the mothers are being disrespected, the kids are being raised to disrespect their wives because they have not learned one of the basic commandments that the Word of God have, and that is to love your mother. Mother and the father, your father, that your days may be long. We are losing children every day on the streets because of they have not learned to respect. Mothers can't tell kids nothing. How can mothers not tell kids nothing if she's required to teach the kids? Mothers are the ones that teach the kids their morals, how they should behave and how they should act, how they should treat others. That's her requirement. Now, God wants godly children. In other words, God wants children that are trained in morals. Fathers can't do this because fathers are out there working. A lot of times, fathers have really serious, hard jobs. And we understand that. Man, you work very hard to bring home the bacon. But because you bring home the bacon don't mean you need to stomp on the mama because she's not bringing home the bacon. Now, if mama's out there bringing home the bacon and daddy's out there bringing home the bacon, who's training the kids? Is mama in her calling? Is she in her calling? Maybe if the kids are older and they're going to private school, which is Christian school or whatever, we can work around a lot of things. But how much money do you need to provide from a home if the home is in alignment with the Word of God? Only time the home is out of alignment with the Word of God is because there is debt. There's a lot of debt. And the reason why there's a lot of debt because we want a lot of stuff. The reason why mommy got to work and daddy got to work, we want a lot of stuff. A lot of time it's not because we're paying for the rent or we're paying for the light. Oh, we're paying for the gas. I've seen $40 light bills. I've seen $50 gas bills. If you manage your electricity wisely, if you do what is wise, you don't have to worry about all that debt. If you're training the kids up, and mother, you got to train these kids. They go out there and they be monsters. They become other people's problems. So we got to learn these things. We've got to. Now we come on, and I have wrote down this: ways a mother is honored. Love her without agenda. A lot of men marry women with agenda. They have their own private agenda. I'm marrying her because, well, when I go back to my country, I'm going to dump her. I'm going to dump her kids. I don't care if I pray for her or with her. I ain't going to bring nothing about God in this house because I don't want her or these kids. I want to go back to my country. I want to be back with my people. Come on. You're out of the will of God. If you're not backing that woman up and you're not supporting and providing for that woman, if you're not taking care of that woman, you're out of the will of God. And the Bible tells you your prayers are hindered because of your relationship with your wife, not because of what your wife can't do. Ain't much God can do in that household if you're out of alignment with that household. You're not backing her up. You're not saying, okay, wife, I'm going to encourage the kid to obey you so I can go to my country and come back and my household will still be in order. That's why you help that wife. That's why you help that woman. Now, we got another one. Love her physically with hugs and kisses, affectionately and consistently. What in the world is this? I ain't gonna hug her. I ain't gonna kiss her. I ain't gonna show her no affection. I'm gonna show everybody that I don't care nothing about her. And you call her, and you call yourself a man of God. And you expect God to bless you and keep you healthy, safe, healed, and whole. And you wonder why there's sickness, disease, and illnesses. Your wife has a hard time praying for someone who don't got her back. It's very hard to get on your knees and say, God, bless this household, bless this man, bless the children. How in the world you expect so much of her when you're putting so much weight on her? Number three, understand her sympathetically. Understand her sympathetically. Okay, yeah, she might not be the first and the head of the house. Yeah, maybe she may not have all that understanding that you have, but listen to her without judging her, without criticizing her, without telling her to shut up, and I don't want to listen to you, and I'm going about my business on the street, wherever you go. Love her sympathetically. feel what she's feeling. Try, even if you can't, just try to feel what she's feeling. Now, number four, dwell with her with knowledge. Dwell with her with knowledge. The Bible tells us to do that in 1 Peter 3 and 7. Dwell with her with knowledge. When you come home and you're keeping her ignorant of the finances, what happens if God should take you home? What is she going to do? You haven't shared nothing what's going on or how she is supposed to go carry on with the kids when something should happen to you because you're thinking she ain't nothing but a little kid and you're treating her like she is your child instead of your wife. Dwell with her with knowledge. Number five, listen to her attentively. Attentively. You don't have to agree with anything she said. You don't have to. You got your own mind. But listen to her. Listen to what she's saying. Try to understand where she's coming from. She's not coming from out there. She's coming from what's going on and what's going down in your house. And she's the only one that knows what's going on in your house. Everybody else don't know what's going on in your house. They think everything is fine and dandy. But the wife knows what state the kids are in, who needs prayers and what we need to come together in prayer with for this child or for that child. Listen to her attentively. Number eight, help her cheerfully. You don't want to help her. You want to go out there and she's standing here and she asks you to put something in the trash. You're going to say, I'm busy. Help her cheerfully. Do you know God is looking at you? Do you know God is seeing how you treat her? Just like he saw how Christ treats the church? It's the same principle. It's the same principle. Your children are supposed to see Christ in you. And when you're reading the word and when you're saying anything about Christ, they're going to say, it's going to be like oxymoron. Where is this coming from? When you speak about Christ, if you're dwelling with her, they will know where you're coming from because they see it in your actions. And the way you treat her, God's grace is the way they're going to treat their wives and the way your daughter's going to be expected to be treated. It's okay for me to be abused. It's okay because I saw my mama do it to my daddy. So it's okay for me to accept this kind of abuse in my life. No, 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 no. You treat your wife the way you would want to see your daughter's children treat her. And you would want to see your son treat his wife. Show the example. Walk the line. Walk the line. I know that line is straight and narrow. Sometimes you stumble on the right and sometimes you stumble on the left. But walk the line. Now we got one. Okay. Love her verbally. Verbally. Asking the kids, raise your hand. How many times you've heard your father say, I love you to their mother? How many times? Raise your hand. If you heard them say it at all. Well, we got two people, three. We got to make sense out of this. We got to make sense out of this. You must say, I love you to your wife so many times that the kids, they say, oh, no, he's going to say he loves her again. You know? Yeah. Love her verbally. And the last one is treat her valuably. Don't treat her like she's just a piece of trash you could throw out. Treat her valuably. Treat her like she's of value. The Bible calls her valuable. The Bible tells you a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. The Bible tells you that she is a pearl. Treat her like one. Treat her like one. Christ treats the church valuably. No matter how much flaws the church had, no matter how weak the church is, Christ treated the church valuably. It's of great price. And as a church is of great price, your wife is of great price. Don't let no one mess with her, not even your own kids. If anyone has anything to say that is not positive towards your wife, shut them down. I know, for God gave me grace. My own kids can tell you how many times I let them talk about my husband. How many times I let them disrespect him, even when he's not around, even with the two of us. They ain't getting away with it. My grandbaby, no matter how little they is, they not allowed to disrespect my husband. Because if they disrespect my husband, we don't have a home. We don't have a home, and I don't have a place to live. But yes, yes, treat her valuably. Treat her valuably. And thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we got in the book of Psalms, it talks about Psalms 28 and verse 13 says, though ye have lain among the pots, yet have ye been as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. You see, even God knows. God has women in high regard. He stepped out of heaven, and he came to Adam. He put Adam to sleep, and he reached into Adam, and he pulled out a woman. He took that energy. He actually took that energy. With everything else, he called it forth out of the earth. So everything was just made with dirt, and he just called it out. But with woman, no, no, no. He made her special. He made her to meet your needs. He made her and formed her and created her and shaped her to meet your needs. Yes. Women work hard. Women work hard. Some has out to work to take up the slack and the income and to have a better living for the family. Women work hard. And she should be respected and honored for that. She should be respected. And I don't mean just on Mother's Day. This thing should happen every single day to the year. And I don't mean you breaking the bank and putting yourself in poverty to do this. I mean when you get up in the morning and you're heading outdoors to work, give her a kiss. Give her a hug. How many seconds do that take? How many seconds do it take to respect your wife? Now, we've got choices. We can make wise choices, okay? Choices is something that God has given us, and I'm so happy he has given us the ability to make choices. And I say teeny choices, not big choices. Just teeny, teeny choices in your daily life. Teeny choices to improve your relationship with your wife. Teeny choices that she will feel supported when she's training these kids up, when she's bringing them up. She feels supported so that she can be the one who, she teaches them the word of God. Come home, make teeny choices. Okay, today we're going to open the Bible. You and the family, we all going to come together, and we're going to read the Bible for 15 minutes. We're going to talk about the things of God. Make teeny, teeny choices in your life, and you'll be surprised if you make a teeny choice every single day for 356 days, you will be surprised by what you will receive next year, what God will have for you, and what God will do in your home, just with the teeny choices. And then we have decrees and declares. Decree is what God says, okay? And this whole Bible is a decree. Decrees is what God says. We need to learn the decrees. Sister Brenda, First Lady Brenda, she knows the decrees. If you need help, she can help you. But we need to learn the decrees, okay? Because when we come out declaring stuff, women, we need to declare in our household, in our home, in our marriage, in our family, in our kids, we need to make some declarations over them. Now, decree is like when we go to a foreign country and we have baggages with us, cars, whatever baggage we with us. We write them all down. We make a list of decrees. This is what I'm taking into the country. This is mine. Our decrees is what God has given us through his word. This is mine. Declare. Declare is a different thing. Declare is when we go to court and and the judge make a declaration. Once the judge hit that hammer down, make that declaration, there is no backing out. There is nothing left to be said. There is nothing you can say to defend yourself against whatever the judge has declared on you. Now, we need to declare the decrees in our life. When we see things that are out of order, contradicting the word of God, we declare. We decree that God says this, and we declare it shall manifest in our life because we are children of God. We are his precious children. So we need to make those declarations, and we need to learn those declarations because a lot of people are not in this church because we have not understood to declare that they will be in here, to decree that God says when the head of the household is saved, the whole household is saved. So our children need to be in these seats, okay? Because that's a declaration. We need to make that declaration. It's a decree. God's already said it. We need to speak it verbally. Speak it into our house. Speak it in the tribe. If our marriage is out of alignment with the word of God, we can decree what God says about our marriage, and we can declare that it comes to pass. So that's how we need to move. We need to move. We need to move. The word of God, this word of God means nothing if we don't activate it, if we don't speak it, if we don't release it with our mouth and speak it with our tongue. So I know this was kind of hard, but the things that we have to learn and we have to decree, we have to declare to honor our mothers and our fathers, our kids. We decree that God says they are to honor mother and father. We declare they will honor their mother and they will honor their father. Another thing about decree, anything that we speak with our mouth, our whole body actually is speaking it. From the tip of our heads to the tip of our toes, every fiber in our body is speaking it. So our body cannot speak something that's going against what we believe. So we have to believe what we speak. We have to have faith in what we speak, and our whole body will line up with that. So even though I listened to some Jewish messages, and they were fun, what they believe is that there's like over 5,000 depressions a woman will have. A woman has, even from depression of maternity, depression of bringing baby into the world, a whole bunch of depressions women go through. That's why you see women cry a lot. We have a whole lot of depressions, things that we go through. Okay, men don't understand what it is in a woman. The Jewish people actually train their kids to understand a woman before they even allow them to marry. A lot of times, our young men marry, and the only thing they marry because they love the woman or whatever the issue may be, but they don't understand the woman. A lot of divorce rates are because of lack of understanding. Lack of understanding of what it is that women are going through. A lot of times, I've heard a lot of comments made to me that I know another woman would never make to me because she would know where I'm coming from. But the man don't know. He's coming from a male point of view, trying to put a male point of view on a woman. That don't work. That don't work. A woman is a different cut. She's a different cut. She has a different purpose, so God made her different. God didn't make her bad, and God didn't make the man bad. It's just a lack of understanding of each other. And that's why I thank God that Pastor allows us to have at least one day a year where a woman can speak from a woman's point of view. We have plenty of messages all year long from a man's point of view, and the man's point of view really doesn't deal with the kids. It doesn't deal with what's going on in the house. It doesn't deal with what's going on in the marriage, what's going on in the family. Women are struggling to bring their kids to church. They're struggling to see what needs the church can fulfill to encourage the kids to come to church. But I thank God for my husband because he's rock solid, side by side, when it comes to bringing our kids to church. during the time of their growing age, there wasn't a day that they missed that we ourselves didn't miss also, because maybe we was traveling to Belize or something like that. But to have someone that walks beside you like that, you know, yeah, we have our flaws and our faults, and they are tremendous. But I had to learn to see my husband through God's eyes. Because what I was having a problem with is I was seeing him through my eyes. So I was judging him based on my feelings and not on God's purpose. And then I say all the trials and all the struggles that I went through to see my kids today was worth it. Yes, I paid a price. I paid a heavy price, yes. But when I look back at it, it was worth it because I got what I wanted. I want my kids in church. I want my kids praising God. I don't want my kids running about all up and down the street doing anything, smoking anything, drinking anything. I want them here in the house of God. And I thank God for that. I could have done better, but I'm a weak. But with God, I am strong. So I praise God that now, because God's words, before I met my husband, God's words with my children shall be, my husband, was the blessing was on my husband, my children, my grandchildren, and beyond. I did not know what I would have to go through to get that promise. I did not know the trials and tribulations I would have to go through. God did not tell me through all the prophets that prophesies over me, didn't tell me my place in the prophecy. Because I want to hear a good prophecy about myself, but he was always talking, the prophecies were always about my husband, my kids, and kids. And I didn't even think I could have kids, so I was wondering where all these prophecies coming about, something I couldn't have, but I just let it go and, you know, just let the prophets, I never contradicted a prophet, I never put down a prophet, I never criticized a prophet, because they're coming from God, they're not coming from me, you know, and I never talked to a prophet or tell them anything, so it was all coming out of them, so it wasn't like, oh, she talked to them, and they just, you know, like the fortune tellers, that's what they do, they just read what you say and try to figure it out that way, but the prophets don't do that, and I was amazed, and I was totally amazed how they could tell you stuff that you didn't tell them. And it was funny because there would be a lot of people wanting prophecies, but I would be the only one who received what they would call the good prophecy. I'm thinking maybe it's because they couldn't handle this. Maybe now I think that way. I didn't think that way then because they always running up to the prophet, hoping they would get a husband. You know, oh, he can prophesy a husband for me. She can prophesy a husband for me. It didn't happen. They would be prophesied about correcting their lives and things like that. And so I just didn't know why. I didn't know why. So I asked myself, why was I called to be a mother? Why was I chosen to be a mother? But God has faith in you. When he chooses you to be a mother, he has faith in you that you will bring your children up in the love and admonition of the Lord. He has faith in you that you will be strong no matter what trials and tribulations you go through. Because when you overcome those trials and tribulations, and when God glorifies you, you will look back and see what God has done. So, yes. So I'm going to close out right now. The message was so enormous. I couldn't believe all the things that God was showing me. I could not believe it. I really didn't. I mean, it was just, oh, to me, it would have been overwhelming. So every night I went to bed and erased the chalkboard, mental chalkboard, and start over again the next day. I say, Lord, I don't want this to be a bad message. I don't want it to be a put-down message. I don't want it to be a discouraging message. I want to uplift everybody. I want to encourage everybody. And yet, to encourage you, I have to tell you the truth as what the Word of God has revealed to me. So I'm hoping and praying, God, you all receive it in that fashion, because God is not done with you yet, and God is not through with you yet, and God is working with you, and yes, it may seem like it's going to take a long time. It may seem like you've been praying for this kid forever. Take my word. I prayed for my son. my son has come to the Lord. God had to send him through some trials, but he has came. I don't know how many times I went to battle with that boy, and I went to battle for his soul. I went to battle for his soul because I knew. My son came up to me and said, "Mama, if I only knew now what I knew then," or however you say that, "if I only knew, if I only knew then what I know now, what took me so long?" I said, "Boy, I've been praying for you, and I've been trying. I've been reaching out, and I've been praying for that. I've been trying with counseling and preaching and praying over him. And that devil was busy. That devil was busy. And I thank God and I praise God that he's in the house. He's in the house in the family of God now. I praise God for that. I thank you, Pastor, for your prayers. Thank you, Pastor, for your prayer. Thank you, Pastors, for your prayer. I was getting beat up. I was getting spiritually beat up, okay? Because I didn't know all the answers. All I know is who I serve and that he's a mighty, powerful God. And as long as I speak his word, it shall come to pass. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening and hearing what the Lord has shared with me.